This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's so many questions here in the Delphi case against Richard Allen, who is serving the rest of his life behind bars as of right now. Unless people wake up and go, this seems a little bit off. There seems to be a lot of problems here with this case, which if you just take the time to look at the drop of evidence and the depositions, it's just riddled with so many obvious problems. Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, talking with us right now about all of this. Let's talk about those Nordic beliefs a little bit more. The Behavioral Analysis Unit came out and said that there were some initial investigators that were in on this, that were looking into it. One of them died under mysterious circumstances. The fact that this is, it's interesting because it's brought to the light of day of Odinism. This, and to the general public, it's like, what? What is this? And then you start digging deeper into it. It's like, oh, well, look at all these prison guards around these Odinism tattoos. Look at all these other folks in the community who seem to have some sort of link or belief system here, or at the very least felt compelled enough to ink it up on their body. That means there's some sort of something going on here. What exactly is it? Do I think it's some sort of a child killing cult? That seems a bit out there. But at the same point, hiding it, not exploring it at all, treating it like it's completely crazy when it turns out there's a lot of evidence that points to it actually being something, it really makes you wonder what the hell the decision-making process was behind the scenes and why this idea as a whole was completely tampered down by the local investigators, telling the feds to stop investigating this, get out of our territory, we got this, and we're not going to look down this road at all. It kind of looks like you might be covering something up. Or you think it's crazy. I don't know. It could be a little bit of both.
Well, I remember at the very beginning of us covering this case, my first question, one of the first questions I had when it came to this Odinism thing was, first of all, you and I even said, we're not conspiracy theory guys, but Odinism, this is weird. Because let's now look at the behavior of the defense attorneys. Because that's what really struck me on this one. The entire time you have two defense attorneys that were very staunch, hardcore, all in Richard Allen's court, and they were all in on Odinism. And I was like, what is making these? Because what happened then was everyone tried portraying them as lunatics, as kooks. But it doesn't fit the narrative of these defense attorneys. They're not lunatics. No. They're not kooks. They're very well educated. And typically, if you have a defense attorney that then was willing to go pro bono to defend someone who they had everything stacked against, especially with Judge Gull. You know, you're like, this doesn't make sense. Why would these two defense attorneys be all in on this kooky thing that someone's well, now we know why. Because the FBI said so. And everyone else around there, they were seeing so much that no one else was seeing. And why? Because they were tampering it down. Now here's a possibility. You know, because this became so muddled and a bit convoluted with the girls being murdered. You have the neighbor that was somewhat connected to these girls. Again, it's a little muddy to who did what, where, when, and you have another jailhouse confession to this. Now, what we don't know is, was that guy an Odinist? Wasn't he an Odinist? Did maybe an Odinist group came across these girls after they were murdered? I mean, there's so much weirdness in there that I think they just wanted to get rid of it all.
Just too dirty, just too much, yeah. Just too complicated. And at the end of the day, they just needed something simple. They needed an answer for the community that had been begging them for years. And when you start to dismiss people, you start to dismiss the FBI from helping. Oh, we don't need your help anymore. And your community is still mad at you and you still don't have answers. You got to come up with something.
Yeah, so here's a great. Oh, I hate doing these conspiracy conjecture things, but so now let's reverse that lens again. So here's your. Let's suppose in our world of make believe, we actually do have an Odinist group inside the Delphi area here. Mm-hmm. one of the objectives of every group and organization is what? Recruitment. Got to keep the thing alive. And if all of a sudden the community finds out, because they're trying to grow their Odinist cult, that we killed two girls, what's that resonate for recruitment?
I don't know. I don't think that would be a great sell, but no, I'm not into Odinist. I don't know if that's a big sell.
You got to push it off on the guy that's the outsider that just moved there like 10 years ago. That's not part of the Odinist cult. So
okay, it's not what they do. Okay.
Right. See? So again, pure 100% conjecture. But again, we got to explore all this is what investigators do. You got to explore all these different possibilities. So now as an investigator, I come with this theory that, all right, so let's play it out. Because this is what you do. If someone gives you an idea, one of the exhausting things that takes so much time in investigations is you follow leads to a logical conclusion. So what you're trying to now do is I'm going to disprove that theory. I came up with a theory that, all right, let's suppose it's Odinist because the FBI said it's Odinist. What were some reasons why the Odinists would want this suppressed? Well, it's not a legal religion or anything like that. It seems a little kooky, a little weird, but not to them. Mm-hmm. But if it's tied to this, well, it might. So everything I just came up with. So what you now need to do is you need to flush it out so you can say beyond a reasonable doubt, we don't have Odinists here. This isn't part of this community. And how do I prove that? Well, I interviewed this person, this person, this person, this person. And now since the FBI, now what I got to do is the FBI put in that report why they believe it's Odinism. I got to be able to flush all that out. All these things we're saying, you always have to disprove something in order to move on to something else. They didn't do it. They completely ignored it.
Was it they didn't want to have more work? they didn't want to have...
Or they couldn't,
yeah.
Because it actually was true. So it's either they didn't want to work or they got pressure. Remember, this thing is about pressure. Yeah. Because a reasonable human being would not follow the path of Richard Allen. It just doesn't fit the pattern of his very, very easy behavior to follow. Another, he was not a complicated person to figure out. You figured him out watching that one interview of him. I have never seen an interview of someone innocent that was different than that. He acted like someone who he wasn't hiding anything in those interviews. And that's what was really striking to me was like, wow, I was expecting X, Y, and Z because someone that even has some semblance or knowledge of these two girls or maybe some thought. I mean, here's another thing that too. He was so unaware of these two girls that he didn't even give a registration of recognition to them. And so, because even if, so again, you play this forward as an investigator, if he was even aware of these two girls' existence in life at any level where he has a connection to them, you're going to see a pause, you're going to see thoughtfulness because he might have, you know, because even if he fantasized about teenagers in any way, you're going to see that pause. You're going to see a different reaction than what you got than the completely, what? Whatever. Here's my phone. I mean, his transparency in those interviews and willingness to share was good to me. And also, he doesn't live a complicated life. He doesn't have a huge social media footprint. There's nothing to be uncovered that's going to take years and years of uncovering. It's not going to be like hundreds and thousands of interviews of people you got to do in this guy. He is straightforward, pretty basic. He's a vanilla guy to look at. He's an investigator's dream because he's easy. There's nothing there. He's got a wife. He's got a kid. He's got a home. He works in a community. Boom.
Why do you think it is, Robin, that when we look at this case and we look at the treatment of Richard Allen as a pretrial suspect, where they put him away in a prison in solitary confinement, basically tortured him for more than a year. We've now seen there's been an image that has come out, basically a mugshot from within the prison system. Very grainy, it's of a man that's been tortured. Black eyes, sunken, just a shell of a human being. It looks zombie-like. Mm-hmm. And this was a man who at that point in time still had not been convicted of a single crime. Why do you think there is such a dramatic disconnect between the people who are utterly outraged by this and those that seem to think there's absolutely nothing wrong with this whatsoever in our system? I mean, again, a man who has not been convicted of a crime, basically tortured nearly to death. He could have easily died had he been in slightly worse health. He probably wanted to.
Yeah.
And this... were just like, oh, that's cool. That's how we do it here in Indiana. Like, we're not in India. We're not in some other third world country. We're Indiana. And this is like A-OK with many people. Why? How do two different people, both seemingly normal, healthy, both maybe raising families, taking their kids to school, not abusing them, not killing them, not doing horrible things. One is just A-OK and the other's like, what the F did I just say?
People want justice and they're going to jump to easy justice sometimes. And I think that's what we saw here. And you hit on the other major part of this, which I do not understand whatsoever. And that's his treatment in pretrial treatment. It was unbelievable. The torture they put him in isolation, got the confessions they wanted. And yeah. I've just never seen a case like this handled this way before.
In the United States.
No, exactly. That's a good point. You know, Nelson Mandela, in his book, Long Walk to Freedom, had a great quote because he was in prison for much of his life. And it was in horrendous conditions most of the time in apartheid South Africa. And he said, you can judge a character of a nation by how it treats people like me, by its convicts, by its prison system. And now, granted, you're not looking for a convicted murderer like Koberger to live in the Ritz-Carlton like he's getting. But at the same time, though, they are to be afforded at least, you know, the ability, especially pre-trial, to live and be able to not be deprived of food, sleep, sunshine, the ability to go to the bathroom without eating it. I mean, some crass stuff he had to do, and he was suffering pre-trial for years. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. And then to be not denied counsel on so many times.
Are we just so quick here in our country where if you've been charged with something, it's just, well, you must be guilty, so we don't care what they do to you?
Well,
that's what it feels like.
And this goes into the other thing we've been seeing too. It depends on what class you are. You know, if you're the Epstein class, well, then you are innocent and everyone else is guilty, you know. So, but that's
why. If you work at the CVS and you have no track record, well, we're going to torture the shit out of you. And you better be stronger and hold up to it because I know I could do it. Because the stupid things people say where they're like, well, I wouldn't have confessed. Really? Really?
We both said the same way. Really?
Really? Really? Yeah. I think if you were put into those situations, I think you could have gotten me to say I was Adolf Hitler or something after you're being put through that sort of shit. You would identify as anything you wanted someone to identify you as if it would make them stop torturing you.
And here's the real key to that, Tony. In any situation, that's exactly what we would do, where most people would do, a vast majority of people do, to make their own suffering end because it's that grueling, that's horrible. But he never once said he confessed for himself. He did it because his wife's concern was what was doing to her.
Yeah.
That is what was most striking me throughout this entire thing was the focus on her, the focus on family. He is the one that is suffering, and and this is the other thing too. Her heart was breaking listening to him. People that do abhorrent things to teenage girls or any women or anyone else do not garner the kind of healthy relationships that you saw coming back to him from her. It just doesn't happen. You never saw anyone coming to Lori Daybell Vallow's defense saying, oh my God, what are we going to do without you? They're all like, who? Do we have someone named Lori Daybell Vallow in our family? But you see what I mean? So all you got to do is do a very cursory comparison to anyone else that you've seen in any other situation like this that's being, accused of anything, and look at their reaction. Look at the family's reaction. The best teller of guilt or innocence in many situations is, what do the people around you think? Are you in healthy relationships or unhealthy? I mean, that's literally the first thing I do in every single situation when we have a horrendous thing happen and we have people of interest that pop in my scope. One of the filters I use is, does this person have healthy relationships or unhealthy relationships or no relationships? And that is one of the first filters I start doing. And this guy had healthy relationships, both his feelings towards his wife and family, and more importantly, theirs towards him.
Yeah.
Because you didn't, I mean, now granted, you could have trauma bonding and things like that. But when the perpetrator's behind bars and being treated like that, the trauma bonding is going to get broken at some point.
What's so sad, I mean, what eats me up about this case is Richard Allen already had some mental health issues, to depression and anxiety, as many of us do. And I can't imagine what he's going through right now behind bars, because they're still being insanely secretive about everything.
And he's accused for the offense that he gets, you know, the big D behind bars too.
Yeah, he's behind bars now. I mean, and there's far less communication. Kathy Allen's had issues just trying to be able to get in contact with her own husband. It's insane. Look, if we get somewhere with this, great, and I hope to God he gets another trial. My concern is him surviving long enough to even get there. And I don't know that we're going to get there, but I do know, and I hope we do. But either way, all of the fuckers in this that railroaded this, for whatever reason, their names need to be known. And their unprofessionalism, and whether it's arrogance, whether it's stupidity, whether there's another reason behind it, that all needs to be figured out. Yeah. And if it's just stupidity and arrogance, then they do not need to be in the places of power that they're at. Because God knows who else has been affected by their shit decision making. And I'm going to guess there's a lot of people on that list. It's so messed up, and there's so many questions, and that's why we're going to keep following this. Because it's dark and it doesn't seem to end. Every time a new chapter opens, it's like, oh, well, this reconfirms just how bad the investigation we thought was tenfold. It's shocking.
I'm sorry, before we go, you said, you know, I hope he survives. Well, the one thing that keeps people surviving is hope. And I hope that he knows how much people are thinking of him, and his lawyers are working. When I saw this thing pop again, I'm like, we have hope. Hope for justice. Yeah. And again, if nothing else, let's keep the focus on the victims.
Yeah.
Since there's an edge of doubt here, wouldn't the victims like definitively to know, by fleshing everything out, that this was indeed either him or not him, and that the actual perpetrator actually died in prison, like some of the theories are, that it's concluded? You know, so let's just get some truth and some transparency so that the victims can finally have closure, and no doubt.
Without a doubt. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent. Your current book, Unbreakable Alliances, available wherever books are sold. Be sure to go and check that out. Thank you so much for your insight, as always. Until next time, for Robin and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.